Oh, lovely. Can everyone hear me? Are you guys ready? Woo, super excited. I love it. I can just feel the energy. It means everyone's having an amazing tech ed, right? Yes, I'll take that as a glowing yes. So this session's all about taking your existing C# and .NET skills, leveraging them now on mobile, on iOS, Android, and of course Windows, all inside of Visual Studio and Xamarin. But first off, who's this guy? Well, that's me. Most importantly, I live here. I might not be the first one, but I live there. Well, okay, not at the base of the Space Needle, but extremely close, like two blocks away. And I moved to Seattle 3 years ago, not to work for Microsoft, because I don't work for Microsoft, but to become a mobile developer. I used to write printer software for a living, and this mobile thing seemed like it was taking off. So I said, I'm going to move to Seattle, not just because it's bright, sunshiny every single day, but because of the awesome coffee. And there's like this weird passion for coffee in Seattle. I can't really explain it. When I walk down to my local coffee shop, Mount Monorail Espresso, it's this little hole in the wall. If you're ever in Seattle, you have to go. And there's this barista, Costa, this older gentleman. And the passion, like when he's just stirring the espresso into the milk, and that latte is just coming together, and he just pushes it over to you, you can just tell that he loves what he does. Because when that first sip hits my mouth, it's splendid. And that same passion that that barista, Costa, has for coffee is the same passion I have for mobile development. Every single day I live and breathe mobile development. It's all I care about. In fact, this is the latest app that I released, My Step Counter. It's completely open source, free on my GitHub, so you can see exactly everything I do. As a developer evangelist, I'm not just an evangelist talking about Xamarin, I'm a developer. So everything I do, every app I create, every sample I blog is live on my GitHub. So everything I'm doing today, you can all get it right away on my GitHub. So you guys came not to learn about me, but to learn about Xamarin and how you can take your C# and .NET skills and apply them to mobile. So first off, Xamarin's a few things. So we're going to talk about the Xamarin platform today. This is where we're leveraging, of course, those C# and .NET skills, or F# if you want to get crazy with it, and use Visual Studio to create native iOS and Android applications and Mac applications as well, and share code across all platforms. But we're more than that. We have a few other products. Xamarin Test Cloud is one of our latest releases. It enables you to take any of your iOS or Android applications built with Xamarin or not. It could be Objective-C and Java or maybe PhoneGap even. But you write automated user interface scripts in a programming language called Calabash. It's in Ruby or C#. You upload your apps to our Test Cloud, and it runs those automated UI tests on hundreds of physical devices located up in Denmark. So it allows you to find bugs in your user interface and find bugs when you're doing regression tests before your users do. But then we also thought, well, what happens after you ship your applications? Well, we have a solution for that as well, which is Xamarin Insights, which is a brand new product that we just launched at our conference, Xamarin Evolve. It enables you to do real-time monitoring, tracking of all managed or native crashes in any of your iOS, Android, or Windows applications from a simple API, cross-platform from a portable class library. It's really amazing. Well, we're going to talk about the Xamarin platform today, most importantly. So when I started mobile development 3 years ago, I decided that I was going to leave this large printer company and work for this small 20-man startup in Kirkland, Washington. And my boss came to me my very first day on the job, and he said, James, we have to demo at CES in 2 months, and I'm going to need you to develop an app for iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and Windows Store that you're going to demo yourself. I said, 2 months, that's not a lot of time. And he said, these apps have to be native. And I said, sure, that sounds good. 2 months, plenty of time to build 4 apps, no big deal. I only knew Windows Phone at the time, didn't know anything about Objective-C or Java. All right, well, Java, we can lowercase some things. We're good. But Objective-C, there's brackets and stars in your nose. So when he told me native, I said, well, what does that mean? And I started browsing all these cross-platform tools for what is native. And they all say native. Native this, native that, native that. And I said, well, how can an application be native if it's running in a web browser displaying web controls? Didn't make any sense. So in development over the last 3 years, I really came down to the notion that a native app is 3 things, especially for me as a developer, but for my users. First and foremost, it's native user interfaces. So having access to every single native control is very important. When a user downloads your application, They want it to look and feel like all the other applications on their device. There's a reason they bought an iOS device or a Windows Phone device or an Android device. They like the look and feel. Now, as a developer, we want every single API to be available to us. You know, we don't want these great SDKs giving us the world, but then the platform restricting us in some ways. Every single device is different, and they each have their own capabilities that we should be taking advantage of. Almost most importantly, though, has to be native performance. So when you download an app, or your users download an app, I know I'm guilty of it. You know, I download an app, I play around with it for a few seconds, maybe I give it 20, 30 seconds. If it's not acting the way I want, or it's not fast, or it crashes, or something happens, I just uninstall it. I'm done with it. You know, on iOS, you see a lot of users have hundreds of apps, and they just sit in folders. So you really only have 20, 30, maybe a minute to really wow your user. So being native, having all three of these great properties is going to deliver you a great app. So how do we get there? Well, it's very simple. You can build an app three times, natively, in Objective-C, Java, or in Visual Studio with C#. And like I said, this is great. You can learn Java, lowercase, inherit from multiple classes, no big deal. Great. Everyone loves multiple, you know, crazy override click handlers. Of course, now we're Objective-C world or Swift world. We're working inside of Xcode, Android. We're living inside of Android Studio or Eclipse, if you're lucky. Just kidding. How many Eclipse developers in the room? There we go. They know. They know. And then the lucky people over here are living in Visual Studio and C# all day. And this is great. And often what happens is you'll join a company and they say, we really need an iOS app. We really need an Android app. And then the manager says, you know what every C# developer would love to do? Go write Objective-C. So that's what they make you do half the time. But now, even if you do have an Objective-C team, a Java team, and a C# team, you have three code bases, three apps to worry about. How do you manage that? How do you continue to release features at the same time and find bugs? It gets really expensive really fast. So often, manager comes in and says, well, wouldn't it be just amazing if we just wrote all of our code once? Just once. It just works. So they find this approach, which is that magical write once, run anywhere approach. Put a bunch of HTML, JavaScript, some other magic programming languages in there, and it just kind of plops out some apps for you. And this is great until you realize that you don't quite get every little bit of native. It's usually just a web browser running some web controls. You get a little subset of the APIs that are common across all platforms. You're not really getting that native experience. Because a web app can never be a native application. It just doesn't work that way. Never get all of the optimizations of the platform. So I like to say, if you're developing this way, you develop against their API, not the API. Like I said, as developers, we want everything if that's in the SDK. So 3 years ago, when I investigated all these tool chains and all these different platforms, I found Xamarin. And it offered a unique approach that, until this day, I absolutely love. It's why I talk about it to everyone here. It enables us to reuse all of our C# skills and .NET skills and build a shared C# code base that's shared against our iOS, Android, and Windows applications. Like, this is all our business logic, our models, our view models, our SQLite databases, RESTful service calls, things that are common inside of each one of our applications. Why make a RESTful service call three different times in three different ways? I'll just use HTTP client. Thank you very much. And I'm done. Now, with Xamarin, we enable you then to build on a native iOS, Android, and Windows user interface all inside of Visual Studio with our designers. And that UI bit just isn't the UI. It's every single one of the platform APIs. So you get 100% API coverage. Now, you might be thinking, James, that sounds like magical rainbows and unicorns flying in the sky. Probably. It's actually not. It's very simple. You know, when I was a Windows developer, I've been a .NET developer for over a decade. And when I came to any new platform, whether it was WinForms, WPF, Silverlight, or WinPhone, I had these APIs, all the amazing .NET APIs, SystemNet, I/O, Link, things that I know and love, I know how to use. When I go to a new platform, I just get some new APIs. So if I go to Windows Phone or Windows Store, I get things like Microsoft Phone, Windows Storage, some common APIs that are but they're specific to each platform. So I get to mix and match now all my .NET goodness with all these platform-specific APIs. Well, think of it now that when you want to target iOS and Android, you can do the same exact thing. Because Xamarin enables you to not only use all your .NET libraries here on the bottom, but we give you 100% API coverage by creating C# bindings for every single API in iOS and Android. We don't stop there. because we also add all the amazing C# features that you love, such as async await, link, lambdas, delegates, events. So when you're developing with Xamarin for iOS and Android, it's just like you've always been developing, but now you have some new APIs. And of course, the same thing is true for Android. Except we have some different APIs on top, such as Action Bar or NFC, things that are specific to Android, if you want to tap down into those native functionalities. So under the hood, how things work, if you really want to get real technical of it, well, we deliver native performance, for instance, on iOS, by doing a full ahead-of-time compilation. We're able to leverage Mono, which is an open-source implementation of .NET, and the Mono runtime. We're the creators of it. We're the maintainers of it. We work extremely close with Microsoft to ensure compatibility between the .NET framework and Mono framework. We take all of your C# goodness, we compile it down into IL, compile that down into bytecode. We run that same bytecode through the same LLVM compiler and optimizer that Objective-C and Swift applications go through as well. So that means at the end of the day, you get a native ARM binary. So to your users, there's no difference. It's 100% native, 100% look and feel in every single API. So that means anything that you can do in Objective-C, Swift, or Java, you can do now all in C# with Visual Studio and Xamarin. And as a C# developer, how many C# developers in the room? Good. It's the best programming language, let's just be honest. It's not me just saying it, it's just fact. Your C# code can run on 2.6 billion devices around the world now. And that number is only growing every single day. And most important to me as a developer, when I was choosing a platform 3 years ago, I wanted to make sure when iOS 8, iOS 9, or 10, whenever the next thing comes out, that I'm always going to be ready. And with Xamarin, we've been shipping same-day support since iOS 5. So that means when iOS 5, iOS 6, 7, 8 comes out, you're able to ship your app to the App Store right away. And this is really important, because for instance, when iOS 8 came out, nearly 40 to 50% of all users has upgraded within the first week or two. So for your app to be fully compatible, day one is extremely important. Now in Android world, it's a little bit different, because Google just says, hey, new API, here you guys go. So they've changed that a little bit with Android Lollipop, and they had a developer preview, and we were right there with them. So no matter when you're developing, you want to add new features, they're always going to be available. But I think it's even more than that, because now, for instance, I have a little smartwatch on my wrist with Android Wear. And with Android, it's not just about phones and tablets that all of us carry around on a day-to-day basis. It's about all of these emerging devices, such as Google Glass, Android Wear, and all the Amazon devices, such as Fire TV and Fire Phone. So we have C# SDKs that tie in all in here as well. And the same thing will be true for Apple Watch when it comes out as well. So what does that look like? Let's take a look. So I'm going to be over here on my Samsung Ativ laptop. Now, I've crafted here a most beautiful demo. I'm just going to run it just so you can really take it all in. You just have to see it. I built this amazing Silverlight application. Look at that. Woo! So this is Silverlight application. It's called MyStocks. I am whiz of all user interface, as you can see. It's brilliant. I'm XAML master. But when I hit get quote here, this is going to go off, and there's a Yahoo API that goes and is able to pull down some stock quotes for me. We see Microsoft's doing OK, up 0.58, and we can see how Google's doing here. There we go, doing fairly well, a little bit higher. And how about Facebook? All right, not too impressive, I know. But let's say I have an existing Silverlight or WPF application. And inside of here, for instance, it's just some XAML, user control, and I have a grid. And it's very, very pretty, I know. But what I've done here is I have some models and view models. So I've kind of structured my code in an MVVM way. If you're not familiar with MVVM, it's like MVC, but with some more Vs and some more Ms. You're good. So here's my models. And all I did is I came up here, and I have like the stocks. I have like a quote. And here's every single JSON. It's just some JSON that the Yahoo API responds to. I went to JSON to C# and just converted it over. And I changed a few things, like error. It used to be error indication, return for symbol, challenge, changed invalid. I didn't think that was good. So I changed it to error. But I have a little view model with some data binding going on. I implement iNotify property change. And every time I have a quote or a symbol, I'm able to have my UI react. What we can see here is I have this get quote method that's called creates a new HTTP client, goes off, grabs a string asynchronous, deserializes it with JSON.NET. We've probably seen this like, I don't know, 100 times. They do this all the time. Could be XML, could be JSON, doesn't matter. So how do I reuse all this code and mobilize it? Well, the first thing I could do is see how much is mobile already. We have a website called scan.xamarin.com. It enables you to take any XE or DLL, any .NET library or executable, and see if it's ready for mobile. So let me go ahead and pull up the debug here, and I'm going to drag in the stock Silverlight DLL. Let's go ahead and hit 2, scan it here. And we can see that it now tells us that about anywhere between 66 and 80% of our code is ready to go mobile just from this DLL. Now, this could be just an existing library. In this case, it's the entire application. So for instance, down here, we can see a lot of this, the solid color brush and framework. A lot of this is just the user interface. And we can see what's compatible or not. And even though it says Windows Phone, you know, you probably wouldn't want to shove a Silverlight application right into Windows Phone. But what I can do here is I can actually save the Excel and open it up and get a full detailed report of the entire application, a full compatibility report of the entire thing. And of course, this goes down into every single call that's either compatible or not. So this allows me just to take a quick look at all my code or any existing libraries and see if they're ready to go to iOS and Android. So let's go ahead and do this. So here I am. To enable this code, I can do code sharing in a few different ways. I'm going to create a portable class library. And I've created one already, but I'll show you how to create one. I go up here and I just say portable. And a portable class library is a single assembly that allows me to target multiple projects. So for instance, here, I say create one assembly that enables me to target Windows 8, Silverlight, Android iOS, Xamarin Android, and Xamarin iOS. All right, so I'm able to now take all this code and put it in this one library. Now, I've already created one because I did need to have to download some NuGets to get the Silverlight support. So we can see this is just a portable class library. I added some of our system HTTP stuff so we can use that. So all I'm going to do is drag and drop all the files over. I'm going to remove everything from the Silverlight application, add a reference from my solution to the portable. And if we run this application again, everything should just work. Because of all that code is compatible across all these platforms. If I run get quote again, there it is. All right, that's great. So now this means that this portable class library, all this logic, I can now target on Android and iOS. So when you have Visual Studio and you install Xamarin from Xamarin.com, we install all the Visual Studio extensions for you automatically. So here we can see I have Android and iOS project templates. Right away, I can create an iPad or an iPhone application. Let's create a blank Android application. There we go. Now, what this has done is it has brought in a few references for me. Right away, I can see system, core, XML, and this mono Android. So that's all of my Android assemblies and references. So we can see here right away, I'm in this thing called main activity. It's like a page of my application. So I have all the different Android namespaces. I could come in and say using Android dot, and I get all the different Android namespaces here for me of all that native Android goodness. Or I could say system.link, for instance, and use link right inside of my application. So the most important part of an Android application is this folder called resources. This is where all my images and layouts and strings go, for instance. And this is really important to know because Xamarin Android and iOS applications, since they're native applications, we follow the same structures and paradigms as native Java or Objective-C applications. So if you had existing Android applications and want to bring them over, you could drag and drop all of your layouts and resources over. So for instance, here is my main Android XML. This is an Android XML file, and we have our Android designer built right in to Visual Studio. And here's a beautiful Hello World button click. And we can see what this looks like in landscape or portrait here. And then I can browse the source. Now, this is Android XML, so it looks like XAML, but Google wanted you to know that it's very much Android by saying Android, 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 Android. Can't get away from it. And it's like XAML, but it just doesn't have data binding. Which is kind of one of the key features, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to build out a little user interface. So let me go ahead and just say get quote. Oops. Say get quote. I can double click here correctly. About get quote. Too many deletes. All right, one more time. Can James rename a string? Get quote. I did it. That almost deserves, yes, thank you. Woo! Impressive, I know. Great, let's add a little bit more here. Let's add some text. So this is my toolbox. This is every single native widget here for me for Android, from progress bars, ratings. Let's add a little text here. I'm going to say large. And then I'm going to add also some data entry here. There we go, and I can zoom in, and we can see what that looks like. There's a little tiny bar. I can come back now, and I can look at the source that's been updated for me automatically. And I can come in here and say Android padding, because I know all the properties. Android's like my favorite platform. It's crazy. So I can give it a little bit of padding. I can make that a little bit bigger. And these are density pixels, so dip. So you can see it kind of gives it a nice little inset. And over in the properties, of course, is every single property. So here we can see the ID is set to text view 1, and I have different height and layout values that are in there. And that's good, but let's just go ahead and see if I can get some items running here. So the first thing I'm going to do is add a reference to my portable class library. I'm also going to ahead and add a assembly here. I'll make sure that my system HTTP is in there. There we go. And at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and compile. And we'll go back to our main activity, the code behind. And all I have to do now is the Android activity is very decoupled from the main user interface. So up here, for instance, I have to actually tell the activity to inflate the main view by saying resource.layout.main. Then I have to find each object on the screen. So let me just go ahead and copy and paste these in here. I'm going to say text view. And this is going to be an edit text. So those are the actual items. I can use var here. Why not? And we'll say this is my quote. This is my symbol. And then we can get the new IDs that we just set. So here's that text view 1. And here's my edit text. And there we go. So now I have access to all the actual native Android widgets. So down here, it looks like we have a little click handler that was put in place for us automatically. And it's just using a delegate. So let's go ahead and remove that. We'll just say sender args, pass in a little lambda here. So whenever I click that button, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and take advantage of all this shared code, this view model code. So the first thing I'll say is var view model. I'll create a new stocks.shared.viewmodels.stocksviewmodel. Of course, I could remove all this namespace stuff and just bring in that namespace. There we go. So here we go. Now we have access to the shared code, and we can see that just lives, if I peek in, inside of that shared code. This is the same exact thing that was running in the Silverlight application. So now at this point, what I'll say is I'll say viewmodel.getQuote, and it's going to want the symbol. So I'll pass in the symbol, which is that Android edit text view, and I'll say text, and I'll even trim it just for good measure. And this is going to return a task, and it's going to return a quote to me. So let's just say var val. And of course, this is a task, but I want the actual item, so we'll add some async awaitification here. So we'll say await, and since we implement and add all the C-sharp features, I'll just say that this is an async click handler. So now at this point, what's great about async await is if I start on the UI thread and that's going off on the background thread, when I come back, I'll be back on the UI thread. So now at this point, I can simply say quote.text, and let's just set that to the current quote. Pretty simple. There we go. And that's our first Android application. Let's go ahead and add some breakpoints. I'm going to set this as my startup project. We're going to notice a few things have changed. We integrate deeply into Visual Studio. So we have a Xamarin Android toolbar here that shows me all my physical devices or emulators or simulators on my machine and a bunch of other information so I can get to the Android SDKs and emulator managers really quick. So here I have my, this is a Xamarin Android player. This is a brand new product we just released. Because the Google, how many people have used the Google emulators? Yeah, they're not so great. The x86 ones are a little bit better, but we thought we could do better. And we wanted to make sure we could run side-by-side Hyper-V and all that goodness for Windows Phone development. So we created our own super high-speed Android player that enables OpenGL hardware acceleration and all that x86 goodness. So here it is, and we can see it's plugged in, and it's KitKat. So I'm just going to say start. And now this is going to package up my actual native Android application. It'll start running it right here on the Android player. And of course, this could be a physical device plugged in as well. It doesn't matter. There we go. And of course, I'm going to enter a quote. And I'll say get quote. So now back in Visual Studio, I've hit that first breakpoint. I can look at my sender, which is a button. I can look at my args, just as I was expect. Here's my view model. We can see that the symbol is set to Microsoft, and the quote here. So let's go ahead and continue through. And I didn't put any progress bar on there, so that went off on the background thread and gathered some data. But I have my val here, and this is my quote. Of course, I get every single bit of IntelliSense. I could come here. We can see I was looking at this earlier, so I put it in my watch window. And then we can put that up in the UI. There it is. Just in like 5 minutes, I've enabled all of that Silverlight code. Now, it might not be the most beautiful application we ever saw, but I brought it over here on Android in under 5 minutes and reused all of my C# code. But of course, there's another platform, a few more of them, actually. And what I've done here is I have another solution inside of Visual Studio. That has the same exact portable class library, stock.portable over here. It's going to look exactly the same. But I created a new iOS application, and I started kind of speccing it out a little bit. So this is our storyboard designer built right into Visual Studio to design all of your iOS applications. And we can see over in my references, I have stocks.ios. And of course, I add my HTTP client, my JSON.net, my stocks portable. It's the same thing I did over on Android. And at this point, I can go in. I have a full toolbox here for all my iOS controls, which is pretty great. But one thing I have is a custom control. And I actually have a little bar chart here that I can drag in. And this is a custom control that I wrote. So this isn't a control out of the box from UIKit in iOS where they live. This is my own little chart. And I can come down and say this is my bar chart. And then I have properties, so for instance, I could come in and say maybe this is 10, and the actual graph updates in real time. So I could see all these different properties. So these are every property I expose, and maybe I change the actual bar color here, so maybe we'll make that Xamarin blue, for instance. It's a good color. It's 52152219, if anyone wants to know. Beautiful Xamarin blue. So that's my little bar chart. And we can tie up this code in the code behind. So let's go ahead and look what something on iOS would look like. So we had our activity on Android. Now we have a thing called a UI view controller, because all of iOS user interfaces are in UIKit. So everything is UI this, UI that, UI button. So we can see that I create my view model here. And I added a little click handler. And that's kind of unique. So when I actually click on this button, we can see here's all the properties of that button. And we just enable an events. So you can just add an event. You can double click on that button, and it adds the click handler for you automatically, just like .NET developers would expect. So we can see I'm doing a few things here, such as I pop up a UI alert view, which is a native message box. I go out and I get the quote. I also have this little thing called get history, which actually the Yahoo API enables me to get about 14 days of history or even longer for any single stock. So this goes out and it queries all the different data, and we can see I'm just doing a little start date conversion string format. And of course, I deserialize that with JSON.net. And that was there in the other portable class library, I just wasn't using it. So now let's take advantage of that bar chart that I created. And there's an item source. And we can go ahead and fill this in. This is going to be a generic list, an ILIST, of bar chart models. So my items that are returned from this are actually a list of history quotes. So I need to convert those. So we can use our good friend link and say select. And we'll create a new bar chart bar model. There we go. So we'll go select these, which is going to return an IEnumerable. And inside of here, we can set the value, for instance, which we'll set to s.quote or value. There we go. And we'll just leave it at that. Now, of course, we can add on to this. And I know that the dates come back from newest to oldest, so I'll reverse it. And then also say toList. So this is very common like .NET code that we've written. I just have a little link lambda here. And converting all of those history quotes over to a bar model, which is pretty great. And the rest of it's the same. We can see I'm actually setting some different colors here for the label quote that I've specified as well. So just like Android, for Android, everything was on my PC, 100%. The SDK, the tools, the actual simulator. For iOS, it's a little bit different. Apple has a restriction that to actually build an app, like the actual package to start debugging, you have to do it on a Mac because all the SDK and the tools are there. That's just a restriction. It's in their API. So what we have is a way for you to connect to a Mac. You could be on your physical Mac, maybe inside of VMware Parallels, connected to the Mac build host, or on a physical PC like this. And it could be a Mac. It could be a Mac Mini. It doesn't matter. It could be a Mac in the cloud somewhere. But you have to be connected to a Mac. You can always compile. So you could open the project, compile. But when you actually want to debug, you want to do that. Because all the simulators are going to be on the Mac. I also have an iPhone here plugged into the Mac that I'll be, we can see right here inside the toolbar. So we can see my iPhone is plugged in, and I'm connected to my Mac build host. So at this point here, I can just say start. And this will now compile up the application with all this new shared code and start a session over here on my iOS device. I'm actually reflecting. I'm doing some screen mirroring here. So as I actually go back and forth, it's not smoke and mirrors. Besides that, it's the awesome of AirPlay that magically works. So it's going to build up that application and start it right over here on my iOS device. There we go. And now I can just say quote. And this will go off. And it'll update and update that bar chart as well. And we see I haven't put anything on the legend on the bottom, so it's just a black bar. But if I come back in here and I say, let's see how Facebook is, get a quote, goes off, spins it, and I get an updated responsive user interface. But at this point now, all of my actual business logic, all my models, my view models, I could add on to this. Maybe I tie into other popular services like Azure Mobile Services or Parse or anything else that I'm using to actually add more functionality and sync all my different stocks, right? This is just the beginning of an application, but I was able to bring over everything from that Silverlight application. Woo, James, that was awesome. Woo. All right, so that was just a few examples. I have a whole bunch more, so don't worry. I got tons more examples coming up and a lot more code. But when I think of why is it so important that I was able to leverage all that .NET code over to iOS and Android and, of course, Windows? Well, it's important because if we're on more platforms, we have more customers. If you only release an app for iOS, now all your Android users, your Windows Phone users are going to complain. If you only release for Windows Phone and Windows Store, of course, now your iOS and Android users that want to use your service are going to complain as well. It's just facts. If you don't release more applications on all platforms, you're actually hurting your business because your customers want to use your app, so we want to give it to them. Now, as a developer, that's the business side of things. And as a developer, when I start working on a project, my boss comes over to me and says, James, we need an Android application. I say, perfect. I boot up Xamarin Android, and I start going away. But that application is now the most important application to me. It's all I have to work on. Now, but if my boss comes over and says, hey, we need an iOS and an Android application, Well, now both of those platforms are extremely important. I'm going to start thinking about how do I structure my code? How do I start unit testing my code? And do like interfaces and things like this to actually make it reusable for other members of my team to come in. But of course, we're in this world where we need apps everywhere. So if you tell me now, hey, James, we're going to work on a team, we're going to be structuring, we're going to work on all three platforms or more at the same time, well, all those platforms are extremely important. And it was important to a company called Ardio. They're a music streaming service that uses Xamarin for all of their applications. When they started years back writing streaming applications for iOS and Android, they did it all natively. They started with an iOS app and they built it in Objective-C. And they were good. They won multiple awards for their beautiful user interface. They said, all right, our Android users are complaining. Let's get them. So they built an Android app, and now they're in Java. They're going down the silo approach that we talked about earlier. And all of a sudden, even on two platforms, they started seeing that feature parity and finding bugs on each platform was a little bit difficult. Because now you're going from one, two. What happens when you go to three or four platforms? How do you maintain all that? Well, the Windows Phone team, when Windows Phone 7 was coming out, they thought a little bit different over at Ardio. They said, well, what if we choose Xamarin as our base? We're creating Windows Phone, but what if we structure all of our code in a nice MVVM way to actually leverage that maybe on iOS or Android in the future? Well, maybe even in their back end. So what they did is they finished up their Windows Phone application, and they had all these portable class libraries and shared code that could be shared across now iOS and Android. And they said, we're going to now take 6 weeks on iOS and rebuild all of the user interface, but do all of this shared code. In 6 weeks, they were done, and they were shipping it to the App Store. They did it again for Android, took another 6 weeks, and did it again on Android. We have a full case study on Xamarin.com that you can read about this. At the end of the day, Ardio is now sharing over 50,000 lines of code on all of the platforms. And they're an award-winning app. So they no longer have to think about features in just one application. They implement it once in their back end, put in a little bit of user interface, and they're done. They can focus on an award-winning user experience on all platforms, including the web as well. And here's a great quote from Matt Crocker, the director of client engineering, just saying, you know, how Xamarin was able to get away from the days of writing Objective-C in Java and C# and just use one unified business logic code base. So what about code sharing? How do we do it? Well, we saw portable class libraries. Because really, we want to share code, right? So portable class libraries are amazing because you get one assembly that's highly distributable. Maybe this is my own RESTful service client, and I want to share that across all my applications in my company. Or I build an amazing library like JSON.NET, and I want to deliver it up on NuGet to thousands upon thousands of millions of developers around the world. Well, that's what portable class libraries are for. You'll see many, many NuGets are all portable class libraries, even from things like Azure Mobile Services, Office 365. Like they have libraries available that target all platforms. And there's NuGet. Now, I talked a lot about Visual Studio on the right, on the left-hand side, I guess. You'll see another IDE, little user interface. We have another IDE called Xamarin Studio. It's available on Mac and PC. So if you don't have Visual Studio, we also have an offering for you. But we have the same feature parity across iOS and Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio. And in fact, you can open the same projects and solutions. So we have NuGet package managers in each. Well, another amazing way to share code inside of a single application is a feature that launched in Visual Studio 2013 Update 2, a beautifully crafted name from Microsoft, that enables us to say, I have all this code, all these files, and I just want to share them across all the projects. So this came out, this is kind of what you hear a lot with universal apps between Windows Phone and Windows Store. Well, those same shared projects that you're sharing on Windows Phone and Windows Store are available and compatible with Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android. And in fact, we also built the same functionality into our IDE. So if you're sharing code this way, you can now add it over to iOS and Android. So it's a great way if you're using portable class libraries or shared projects to share code. And this is going to leverage you anywhere between 50, 60, 70% or more share code across all of your applications. And this is just some popular code sharing stats from some applications that ship from Xamarin developers out there in the wild. So Calca, iCircuit, and Touchlo, these are very complex applications. And in the white here on the bottom, we can see that's the shared code. And the gray is the platform-specific code. And this is going to vary because every application is a little bit different. You might want to do a little bit more finessing over on iOS maybe for the user interface. But over on Windows Phone, for instance, you use a lot of XAML, a lot of data binding. So it's not actually code that you have to write. It's just some user interface design. You get to leverage all that MVVM goodness. So let's take a look at how we can do this. I just want to show you a quick example of an application. Oh, I also forgot to show that I totally had a Windows Phone application here as well. We'll just run it for good measure to show you that, yeah, I had iOS, Android, and the same application running on Windows Phone. So, of course, this kind of finalizes the portable class library, because I have Silverlight, iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. And if I really wanted a desktop application, of course, I could add that over to the other projects. So there we go. And all of our code, of course, just works on Windows Phone. So I want to open up another. I want to show you kind of a real-world example, because I've obviously built these applications really quick over in Visual Studio, just real quick. So this is an application called the Xamarin Store application. We'll wait for it to load up here real quick. Let me go ahead and get it running on the device. So this is a Xamarin Store application. You'll actually see me. I'll be down at the Xamarin booth. Almost all of us are wearing our C-sharp shirts or F-sharp shirts that we love. So this is a native application built with Xamarin running on the iOS and Android here. And we can see they look a little bit different. Different action bars and toolbars up top and different list views. And when I go in and I select a shirt, for instance, I get this nice little parallax scrolling, for instance, that's going on and taking advantage of the animation APIs. And when I come in and I click if I want a size, I can go here. On iOS, this is my favorite. I can just kind of add as many shirts as I want. Yes, I would like 16 of them. But we also get to pull in great native features like swipe to delete, so everything's available like you would expect. Same thing over here on Android, just in a different fashion, because on Android, swiping to delete is completely different. So now at this point, I could check out. And we're going to see on one, I've finished up a little bit and I've logged in. But over here on the iOS, it tells me I need to change a little bit of code. So let's see what's going on here. So if I look over at my Xamarin Store application, I have an Android and an iOS application. And inside of here is a shared project. So this is the Xamarin Store shared project. And it has all my models, my data, some helpers inside of there. And also, let's look at the data here. Here's my web service. And I have a Gravatar service to grab the avatar. We can see I'm logging in, grabbing the response string, getting a list of products. There's a little to-do to get a monkey. That's interesting. Some code that's commented out. But I'm using things that we saw before, but it's all in a shared project. What's interesting about shared projects is that it's not one assembly. It's just some files of code. So up here, Visual Studio automatically detects that I've added this reference, this little double diamond shared project, to Android and iOS. So if I toggle this right here and I say, well, I could start saying Android dot, and I could actually write Android code inside of my shared project. Now, if I try to run it on iOS, it's going to blow up because it's not Android. But for instance, now I could do conditional compilation and say, well, if Android, elif iOS, probably put an if in there, I could actually write Android or iOS specific functionality. So I could say Android dot something, you know, whatever, dot accounts, animations. But if I switch to iOS, the IDE is smart enough to gray that out. And if I switch down to iOS, I can say monotouch, where all the iOS APIs live, and I can use any of the iOS-specific functionalities. So if I'm just writing a helper method that maybe needs to do something specific, but it's a common API, I can just ifdef my code. Now, that's something not available in portable class libraries because they're platform independent. Anyone has to take that library, and it just has to work. But it's interesting because I can write great code against a nice API, but take advantage of some platform-specific APIs as well. So that's the Xamarin Store application. I just want to show off like a real-world running example of what an Android and iOS Xamarin application looks like. And in fact, if you like your C-sharp shirt that you just saw on the screen, you can get your own. Just for trying Xamarin, you go to xamarin.com/shirt, you download this application, you start a free trial, and we deliver you a free C-sharp shirt internationally, anywhere in the world, for free, free shipping, in your size, in the color of your choice. Just for trying Xamarin, on Android or iOS, it doesn't matter. So I encourage everyone, when I see you next TechEd, everyone should be wearing a C-sharp shirt. Because it's free, why not? In fact, we've shipped thousands upon tens of thousands of shirts worldwide. Okay. So you're saying, James, this is great. I'm sharing 60, 70% of my code across iOS, Android, and now Windows, and of course, all my great Silverlight applications. But what about the user interface? And we get this question all the time. In traditional Xamarin development, we said, well, we want to enable you to craft great user experiences on iOS, Android, and of course, Windows. So we're going to give you the tools and all the APIs and all the native goodness to do that. But customers come to us all the time and they say, well, what if, you know, I have simple screen like CRUD operations, I'm in line of business, I'm in the enterprise, I'm just pulling down some data, I just need to display it, and I see some simple data entry. It doesn't need to be the most beautiful user interface, but it needs to be native because my application is living side by side all these great, beautiful native applications. We said, okay, well, you should only need to write a login screen so many times because it's probably going to look the same on each platform. So we created a brand new library called Xamarin Forms. It enables you to build native user interfaces for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone from a common shared C# code base. And this is just a screenshot of one of our sample applications where we have a search bar and we have tabs up top here and we have a map. And the simplest example before I dive into code to what this means as a cross-platform user interface API is in the code, I just said, I would like a new map. And Xamarin Forms did the hard work of laying down the native control of Apple Maps, Google Maps, and Bing Maps on each platform. I didn't have to worry about it. So I talked a lot about Xamarin traditional development. I love it. I can't get enough because I like to tweak every little bit and piece, take advantage of as much as I possibly can. But as may not be for every single application. So this is what I've been talking about. This is what Xamarin Forms looks like. It adds to the story of Xamarin, enabling us not only to share our shared C# backend logic, but pull in the shared UI code as well, but all native across the board. And in fact, it even gets better because we can see that there's a little bit of purple, green, and blue up top. And that's because we always enable you to get down to the native controls that we're laying down and every single one of the APIs available in any platform. So anything you want to do in an application, you can. So here's what's included out of the box. So it's actually more than just an added toolkit to your toolbox. Well, first, it's 40-plus pages, layouts, and controls that you can use across all these different platforms. And you're able to build these from a shared C# code base or a XAML code base. We got so much demand for XAML that we added it. And obviously, with XAML, it's not traditional XAML. It is XAML against the actual specification of XAML, but it's our schema. So you can't just bring over existing XAML per se. But it's going to look very familiar because it's XAML. But with XAML, obviously comes two-way data binding. So we added two-way data binding across the board. We also added other MVVM features, such as a navigation paradigm across iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. So you just say navigate, push page, and it just pushes it for you natively on each one. We have a great animation API that takes advantage of the core low-level APIs, such as core animation on iOS and animation on Android, all async awaitified. And then, of course, we have a dependency service and messaging center. So things that are familiar for .NET and MVVM developers are going to be available here for Xamarin Forms developers. So what do you get out of the box? When I say I want to start a new application, well, I pick out some pages, and we give you a few different pages that you can get started with. Something as simple as a content page, which is just a bunch of controls that I lay down inside there. Our master detail, which is a nice fly-out navigation or navigation drawer on Android. Of course, we have our own navigation that you could be your root of your application, or something like tabs or carousel. And what's really intriguing, of course, about this is that they're native controls. So when we talk about tabs on iOS, those tabs are going to be at the bottom, where they should be, with icons. On Android, they'll be at the top with text. And on Windows Phone, it'll be a pivot control. So it's going to look and feel native because it is native. So I have my page and I picked that out, but of course we've got to lay out our controls in some way. So that's where the layouts comes in. And we have a whole bunch to pick from, things like stack layouts, absolute, relative, or my most favorite control. I was a WinForms, WPF, Silverlight, the whole stack, I've done them all by now. And my favorite has to be the grid layout. I mean, just hands down to stars and sizing, it's just beautiful. So we've implemented a cross-platform grid layout that you can take advantage of. And you can mix and match these. So you can put stack layouts inside of each other and put that in a scroll view so everything looks and feels great. But of course, it comes down to the controls. So you have things like labels, list views, search bars, sliders, maps like I've already shown off. But something's missing over here. Well, I just didn't forget to add a bubble. This is any of your custom controls that you want to add into the mix, or more controls that we add further down the road. So it's very extensible. We added a great extensibility model to enable you to bring more and more controls over. So what does that look like? Let's head back over to the PC. There we go. There's our beautiful Xamarin store application. Now, what I'm going to do here, instead of saying File, New Project, I'm just going to mess around a little bit. We're just going to mess around with some controls and some layouts and see what this looks like over with Xamarin Forms. So we saw that I had Android and iOS API or templates for me automatically. We have this thing called mobile apps. And what mobile apps means to us, it's kind of like a universal app, but this is our project template for Xamarin Forms. And you can pick between a portable class library or a shared project. A lot of people ask me, well, what do you go with? Well, sometimes I like portable class libraries because it actually forces me to like craft my code with interfaces and use our dependency service. So let's start there, and we'll call this TechEdForms. We'll save that. So we're going to create a new project here. And this is going to do quite a few things for us. It's going to create a bunch of projects right away. So let's see what this looks like. Lovely. So what did that just create? Well, we have our portable class library called TechEdForms. And this is where all of our business logic, our models, our view models will go, and now our views. And then we still have an Android, an iOS, and a Windows Phone project. And that's really important because we're still compiling those native applications. We don't cross-compile anything, even with traditional Xamarin development. We have our own compilers and optimizers for Android and iOS. Now, Windows Phone, that's just Microsoft. They just do their own. Your code just works there. Xamarin is the Android and iOS bits. And Xamarin Forms is all these great platforms. So what's happened, let's say on Android, is it's added all these references for me. And I can see I have Xamarin Forms XAML, some platform, and some core, and some support libraries. It's also added my portable class library. So it's taking care of all the hard work of creating all of my projects. And the same thing's true here for my portable class library. I have my Xamarin Forms with all the great Xamarin Forms APIs. So it's created this app.cs, and it has a method called getMainPage. And it's just returning a label called Hello Forms. We can see, so this is kind of a very generic structure. It's a very generic Hello World application. And what we can see in Android is there's actually just one line of code to get started. Well, two lines of code to get started with Xamarin Forms. I have my main activity, and I have to initialize Xamarin Forms in some way. So in each platform, I initialize Xamarin Forms on app startup, and it handles the rest for me. So there's a little bit of platform-specific code, but of course I could add Android and iOS features there. So let's just go ahead and compile this and see what this looks like. We'll first do it here on Android. So this again is going to package up that bundle for me and start it right here on the Android player. And we'll wait for it as we connect to the debugger. And Hello Forms. Woo! Beautiful. Well, let's see what this looks like now, let's say, on Windows Phone. Let's head start up, Windows Phone. Beautiful, beautiful label. And of course, we could do the same now over on iOS. I'm going to make sure that my configuration manager here is set to iPhone. Perfect. Say iOS, startup, and we can still see my iPhone is plugged in. And we'll go ahead and start this application up. So what's great is that this is just a label. And what's happening now under the hood is that this is laying down a UI label on iOS, a text view on Android, and a text box over on Windows Phone. There we go. It says Hello Forms. Now it's got some black bars up on top just because I have to add some more images for it to stretch correctly over on iOS. It's interesting how iOS works. But there we go, our first project. But let's do something interesting. Let me go up to my portable class library and let's add some pages. So we'll say, let's add some tabs. So we're going to do a new class here and we'll say tabbed, my tabs. And you can think that every single page and layout in Xamarin Forms has this parent-child relationship. So you see the word child or children everywhere. So tabs has some children, and those children are pages. A layout has some children, and those children are controls. So I'm going to go ahead and create a public class. And we'll just say this is a tabbed page. Bring in the Xamarin Forms namespace. And we'll say my tabs. And at this point, we'll just give it a title and say, tabs are awesome. Great. But let's lay down a few more pages, because I need to put some pages in my tabs. So let's create just inline. We'll be a little not great. We'll say tab one, content page. And then we'll say public class, tab two, content page. And let's just do this real quick, and we'll just grab some labels here. So I'm going to kind of be a little cheating, but I'm just going to grab the tab 1. And we'll change this to tab 1. So we can see I'm actually setting the entire content page's content to a new label. But of course, I can set the title here to tab 1. There we go. And we'll do the same thing down here for tab 2. But of course, that's tab 2, tab 2, tab 2. Lovely. OK, so now at this point, all I have to do is say this.children equal dot add. And we'll add a new tab 1. And then we'll also add a new tab 2. Now all we have to do is come back to our app.cs. So each one of these applications is calling the startup code. So instead of returning this new content page, let's put it inside of a navigation page. We'll make that our root navigation page. So that way we're able to navigate to and from some different pages. And what we'll say here is specify the root page. If you can't see that, we just want a new root page. And we'll give that a new tab, my tabs. Great. Now at this point, I can just go ahead and start without debugging. We'll get an entirely brand new application if it runs. Fix up the code here. That's what happens when you copy and paste code. So let's go ahead and start up on the iOS device. So now we can see on the bottom, I haven't added any images, but we can see that we actually have the tabs, tab 1 and tab 2, right down on the bottom. If I switch back and forth, I'll have to tap the device here. We see tab 1, tab 2 update in the user interface. The same thing will be true here if I go over to Android. Start debugging now. Now our tab should be on top because that's where Android tabs go. Tab 1, tab 2, pretty great. And of course, over on Windows Phone, we'll expect the same exact thing. But of course, this is shared now across all three platforms. And we can add a little bit more functionality in here. So here's my tab 1. I can fling over to tab 2. And my UI just reacts how you would expect. So let's get a little bit more complex before we looked at a fully baked example here. So come up to tab 1. And we'll create a new stack layout. So we're going to add a few controls into my stack layout. And we can go in and look at all the properties. So we'll say, well, it'd be great if my stack here, I can set the padding to 10, which is actually a Xamarin Forms number. It's actually a pixel or DP value depending on each platform. But I can also add the spacing here of 10 as well. So now at this point, let's still create our label. This will be my var count label. And that'll be good. We'll say count 0. And let's create a little click handler. So we'll just say var count equals 0. Well, that's actually int. Perfect. And let's create a button here. And we'll set the text to click me. So every time we click this button, we're just going to update the count. So I'll say button.clicked. So we have a click handler here. We'll say sender args. And now, I can scroll. There we go. We'll say count plus plus. And then we will go ahead and update that count label, text. And we'll say string.format. Say you clicked how many times? But let's do something a little bit more interesting. Let's say if the count equals 10, let's do a few things. We'll set the count label dot text color equal to a color dot green. There we go. And we'll also say this dot display alert, and we'll pass it in an alert. And we'll say you are almost there. Keep clicking. And we'll say yes, and we'll give it a cancel as well. There we go. So we'll display an alert view, and we'll say else. Let's say if the count, else if the count equals 20, let's actually navigate somewhere. So let me go ahead and create a new page, class, new page. Get real creative with the titles here. And what we'll do is we'll steal this text, but I want to pass something into it. We'll say let's pass in a string, or let's pass in an integer of count. So actually do a little bit of navigation. So we'll say this is my new page, and we'll actually say you clicked plus count in our label. So now at this time and point, I can say navigation.push async, so it's all async awaitified. We'll say new page. So that's pretty cool. And let's see what this looks like. It does not take 0 arguments. Let's actually pass in that count. Something happened. There's no controls. That's not good. The reason that there is no controls because I haven't set the content anymore. So let's go ahead and take our stack panel and start adding things to the children. So it's children.add, and we'll add our label. We'll add our button. And then we will go ahead and say content equals stack. So now we can see when I click this, we go ahead and update this. We're almost there. We'll keep clicking. And we get a brand new page, all with just a few lines of code. And in fact, the entire back stack is handled for me as well. And of course, we'll see the same thing is going to be true over here on Android. They're like, James, this is pretty sweet. Click handlers, awesome. Navigating a little bit. But I also want to, after I show you this, show you a full baked example. We're going to add some cool functionality to it in the last 12 minutes that I have here. So we'll just double check. We have the button. For some, I skip past my alert, but I navigate to a new page. And there I am. Pretty awesome. Just from 100% shared code, I'm just starting to lay down. And I could POC extremely easily. All right, now I travel quite a bit for work. So I created a little application to demo, and this is on my GitHub. It's called Trip Expenses. So the idea is that I want to just be able to, any device that I have, quickly whip it out, whether it's iOS, Android, or Windows Phone, and I want to just take some trip expenses and actually just add them up. So when I get home at the end of the day, if I'm offline, they'll all be saved for me, and I can just add them to my expense report. So I'm using a shared project here. This is trip expenses, so it's a little bit more complex. Can actually navigate these down. So we can see I actually have some pages, some views, and these are all XAML views, and we'll take a look at those. I have some view models and some service and some models. So for instance, our trip here, it's pretty simple. I have a name, billable, price, category. And our expenses, for instance, has a list, an observable collection of trip expenses. So remember the name expense. And it has a few I commands. So when I press or I want to load expenses here, for instance, I go to my data store, I asynchronously get it. And this could be any data store. Maybe it's a SQLite database, maybe it's just local, maybe it's some other backend. And I have a way to update an expense as well. So let's just run this. Let's look at the XAML page here. So here's my XAML page. So I was doing everything from the C# code behind, but you can do everything in XAML. I don't have enough time to actually write it all out for you, so here's an example of exactly what it would look like. It's going to look very familiar. We have the same data binding principles. We have value converters. We have one-way, two-way binding, everything in place. So here's a list view. I have an item source of expenses that comes from my view model. Of course, I have a data template of a text cell that's going to name the name and the price of each expense. And then I add a button on the bottom that has some colors on it that says add expense. And the same thing's kind of true for the details. It's just a bunch of entry and pickers and activity spinners as well to see if I'm doing something and I'm doing something for a long period of time. And if we actually look at the code behind that's generated in here, I can add a little bit to it. So I could add a tapped event, or I could actually rig that up to my view model. But I've added a few things, like some click handlers to navigate to a new page, because I didn't want to put that in my view model because it's actually specific to the pages. And when I navigate and I tap an item, I'm going to pass it to the details page, but I'm going to pass in the item that was tapped. Kind of makes sense. But overall, back here in the details page, there's barely anything going on. I just create a new view model and set that to my binding context. So I run this over here on Windows Phone. I've created a few default data entries here for me automatically. So I have meal night, hotel one. If I add a new expense, I could say water. And it's probably expensive, like €4. And we'll say meals. We'll save that up here, and now we see the water in our list. If I do the same thing over here on Android, set that as my startup. We can see I've kind of themed it in a nice little light theme here. I've just added a little bit of styling to it. There we go. We're going to get a little different view underneath here, but we'll notice that new water entry isn't there. Because right now my data store is just local to one device. But what we can see is I kind of get a nice list view. I can add an expense. I get the actual look and feel of the Android application because it is an Android application laying down the native controls. And of course, the same, just to prove it, will be the same over here on iOS. So while that builds up, I obviously notice an immediate flaw in the application, which is that everything is self-contained just in on each device, on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. But what if I have multiple devices, and I'm traveling a lot, and I want to actually sync this up between iOS, Android, and Windows Phone? Well, there's a lot of services out there that could do this for me. The one that we're about to implement is actually Azure Mobile Services. But first, let's take a look here. There it is. Beautiful. Here's my list view. I can tie in and get, again, the actual look and feel here of the iOS device, because it is the native controls. So let's take a look at that data store and see what it's doing. Well, What I was actually doing is I have a few methods over here called get expenses async. And we see I'm just returning a list of expenses. And that's not really good. And I'm not even like saving anything to disk or anything. I have a way of updating and inserting. But what I've done is I've added Azure Mobile Services to each of the projects. We can see right here in our references, this is just a NuGet package, or NuGet if you want to get real fancy with it. We've added this PCL, this pickle, and it's a cross-platform, and it has a SQLite store. It has online-offline synchronization between both iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, and even Windows Store applications. So let's update a few lines of code. I'm in a shared project. I've created a mobile service client. And inside of here, I have a little bit of initialization code to set up a new SQL sync table. So it's going to give me some tables that I can sync to. Inside of here, I can comment out a little bit of lines of code. And it's really, honestly, this easy to say insert async, update async. And then here, I will enumerate async to get everything in the list. And there's this really cool method that I created called sync expenses that if I'm offline, when I come online, it'll push all my changes asynchronously, and it'll pull down all my changes as well. So let's go ahead and run this now on Windows Phone. And don't worry, I don't want to keep you from lunch too long, so I'm really going to stick to my 5 minutes here that I have left. So we can see it's going out, it's checking Azure to see if there's any changes. And actually, if we look back at Azure, there's nothing in my table. There it is. We should be able to add an expense. I'll say from WinPhone. Going to make that billable, and this is going to be like $100. Save that there. And now if I go back to Azure and refresh this, maybe it's not there. Let's check. There it is. All right. Cool. It's awesome. It's there. So now we can come back over to our Android application. Start debugging. Well, that's loading. I'm going to go ahead and launch it over here on Windows Phone so we can get this side by side. We'll see how fast this wired Ethernet is. There we go. Boop, now it's there from Windows Phone, synced up automatically. If I add a new expense over here and say from Android, save it there. Should be able to resync here. If I added the sync code, let's double check. There we go. Automatically, with just a few lines of code, synchronizing between my iAndroid and iOS devices. And of course, Windows Phone if I boot that up as well. So that's Xamarin Forms. Now you can make them really complex, and I built our entire Xamarin Conference app all with Xamarin Forms. If you go download this from the App Store, Xamarin Evolve, you'll see in a complex example on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. I don't have enough time to show it right now. But you can get started with Xamarin by just going to Xamarin.com. You get a free 30-day trial to try this all in Visual Studio and see how much code you can share across now iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, and Windows Store applications. If you have MSDN, well, we have special offers for you. We have a special 90-day trial as well. It's just Xamarin.com/MSDN. So I encourage you to get started today. Now, if you liked what you saw here, there's a few more sessions I'll talk about afterwards, but we also have live interactive training called Xamarin University. It's 6 days a week, 24 hours a day from live interactive trainers. You hop on a GoToMeeting, and you actually sit down and you learn from maybe knowing nothing about C# or Android or iOS to a full Xamarin certified developer. And this is on your time year-round, and you get all the videos and source material. But you can also schedule one-on-one sessions with these instructors. So if you're looking to get into iOS and Android, this is a great place to start. I'm James Montemagno. Thank you so much, and feel free to contact me or ask me any questions.